Okay, yesterday we discussed kittel. I don't really have that much more to add to the kittel, so we'll leave it with that. But there is something which I don't have any makar for. And I always wondered about this, and I have my own ideas. Very simple, very short. Why is it, just because we dress in white, we have a custom on the Yom Neroim to put on white clothing, because we have to dress in tachrichim, we have to humble ourselves, we have to transform our sins that are red, scarlet, to white snow. But why do we have to dress up the Sefer Torah in white? What did it do? The parochas. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim bo. The Sefer Torah doesn't need tachrichim. And the Sefer Torah didn't sin. So why, and Sefer Torah doesn't need humility, doesn't need to be humbled to what were the other reasons that we gave? We have five reasons yesterday for the six reasons. The from Pesach, right? We take the white kittel from Pesach. Why are we dressing the Sefer Torah in white? And the parochas, and the bima, and the amud, the rabbi shtender, everything is dressed in white. So also, let's just go the Indian, about Issa Indian. This always was very interesting to me. The different customs of when you change the parochas and the Sefer Torah to white. When I grew up in the Young Israel, it was simplest thing that when it was a change for the first night of Slichos. You come at Tzoy Shabbos, first night of Slichos. Wow, parochas is white. Shema Koyleinu, open up the Aron Kodesh, Sefer Torah, white. Go to yeshiva, no such thing. In yeshiva, it's the regular, whatever it is, all the way until the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Now, why is that? Is that because in yeshiva, they just never got around to doing it? That could very well be. It could very well be just not so swift. Exactly.
They're sitting and learning.
They didn't even know where the parochas is, and last year where they put it, here and there. Or is it because, no, there's a hakpada. You don't change it until the night of Rosh Hashanah, because when you come to Rosh Hashanah, it has to make an impression upon you. That first impression is what counts. You only have one chance to make a first impression. And you want that first impression to be made on the night of Rosh Hashanah, yeah?
You could argue the same thing for Slichos itself. Why the period of Slichos before? It's a consciousness raiser, and so is the changing of the
Right. So I don't know the answer. I don't know if there is. I have never seen any makaris for this. I'm sure there must be somewhere. It must be discussed somewhere. These ideas that we discussed yesterday in the safe, he brings things that you never would even imagine. Every little detail has a makar, has a reason, and there are many reasons, and depending upon the reason, some do like this, some do like that. I've never crossed anyone that even discusses why in general we need to dress the Sefer Torah and the parochas in white. That's also a question. Which pasuk do you put on the parochas? Every true.
I was going to say white indicates
tahara, but the Sefer Torah doesn't need tahara. We need the tahara. We dress in white.
That reminds us when we look at.
Okay, so that's obviously the answer. The answer obviously. It's a reminder for us. It's a reminder when we see the Sefer Torah dressed in white. It's mashpi upon us. But it's an interesting thing. You know, today it's very expensive. You know how much a parochas costs today? A mandel? Yes. A mandel costs today, the cheapest mandel costs today almost $500. That's the cheapest mandel. Years ago, I remember it didn't cost more than $100. This is outrageous. The price inflation is just, with religious items, it's outrageous. $500 to buy a semi-decent mandel. If you want to buy something really, really nice, $1,000, more than, the Sefer Torah itself doesn't cost more, you can get it for $30,000, $25,000. So the mantle should cost a 20 of the Sefer Torah, it's ridiculous, but that's how it is, that's the market. A parochas, how much a parochas cost? $5,000 to buy a nice parochas. So these are expensive minhagim. These are not cheap minhagim we're dealing here. We're not dealing over here with buying an apple for Rosh Hashanah. This is serious business. And why? Why is it so important to dress the Sefer Torah in white? Maybe this is even prop. Just because it's a reflection, it's a conscious razor. Why should we impose what we need to do to ourselves on the Sefer Torah? I don't know, I never see, but I think there is one idea which opens up a new way of thinking about changing the mantle and the paroches. And before I go further, I just want to let you know that changing the paroches, just changing the paroches, not necessarily to white, is something which among Hasidim is a big thing. We once discussed this. In the Beis HaMikdash, it says they would change the paroches twice a year. And because of Tumah. And it could very well be that, and the Gemara mentions how many women were involved in weaving the paroches, how many people were involved in toivel the paroches. So you do see a change of the paroches in Beis HaMikdash. So there is something to it of changing the paroches. And among the more well-to-do communities, they change the paroches more often, not just for Rosh Hashanah. Each one of the Shalosh Regalim has a Sabbath paroches. Even Chanukah has a Sabbath paroches. I've seen in the shul that Chanukah they have their own paroches for Chanukah, special paroches for Chanukah, Chanukah theme paroches. And I would imagine from the more you could have, the better. In Munas Yisrael in Borough Park, the shul that Rabbi Wolfson is leads, they have this is an amazing. They have tracks. They have at least two, maybe three tracks in the Aron Kodesh, and they change the paroches between Shachris and Musaf. So I think on Shana Rabbah, without stopping there, Shana Rabbah, I pick up my eyes, all of a sudden there's different paroches. How in the world they change the paroches from Shachris to Musaf? Inside the Aron Kodesh, there are multiple tracks, and they just pull one out and pull one in. And this seems to be some type of significance to doing this in these communities. But the point we were trying to make is not necessarily just the changing, but why is it white? So I think the answer is very simple, or at least it touches upon an idea. What happened on Yom Kippur? Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Luchos Shnios. Hashem originally gave us the Luchos Rishonos, the first set of Luchos. That took place on the 6th, 7th day of Sivan. And then 40 days later, we sinned by worshipping the eagle. And Moshe went to Shemayim for another 40 days to beg for forgiveness. And then Moshe went for the third set of 40 days preparing to receive the second set of Luchos. And when did Hashem give him the second set of Luchos? On Yom Kippur. And on that day, Hashem said, Vayomer Hashem, Solachti Chidvarecha. The Luchos Shnios is very different than the Luchos Rishonos in many ways. Number one, the Luchos Rishonos was given with great fanfare. The whole world came to a stop. The whole world was a witness to the Luchos Rishonos. The Luchos Shnios was still a hate, quiet. No one was there. It was only Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world was not aware of what was happening, that Hashem was giving over the Luchos Shnios to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Luchos Shnios represent a different type of Torah. It's a Torah of tshuva. The fact that it was given together with Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, accompanied with the words Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvarecha, the Luchos Shnios has a whole different flavor to it. By learning Torah, Torah itself is a kapar. The whole mode of learning has changed. Chazal tell us that before the Chet Egel, when you learn Torah, you never forgot it. It was impossible, and it was easy. Torah study came easy. Torah knowledge came easy. With the Chet Egel, that gift of absorbing the knowledge of Torah easily was taken away. In addition, we began to forget. And with the Luchos Shnios began a new approach to learning. Amelos, Yegia, difficulty, a requirement to review, to study, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's one difference. Another difference, Ksav. What script, what font? Today we wouldn't say the word script, today we would say the word font. Modern day age, what script was the Torah given with? Luchos, now it's not clear. There are many, many opinions. In fact, there's a very good book that was published not so long ago, Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuri. There are two scripts, Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuri. This person, it's fascinating, his conclusion is that the Luchos Rishonos was Ksav Ivri, and the Luchos Shnios was Ksav Ashuri, which is which is opposite of what most people will tell you. So let's learn one with a common understanding. The Luchos Rishonis was given in Ksav Ashuris, which is what we have today, what we see now in Sifat Torah today, the black letters with all of the little details in the Kotzim, the crowns in the Kotzim, and their very mystical significance. In each letter, there are many ideas. But then there's something called Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri was an ancient, mundane script, which they have in the back of some of the encyclopedias, and you can go online, you can even download. I once downloaded a font, the Ksav Ivri font, and I typed a whole, I gave a class on Ksav Ivri, and I typed a whole bunch of words, and you can just, it's a font. Download a font, the Ksav Ivri font. And then you type, and what does it say? You have to say, they do this, I think someone told me, I showed this, someone, yeah, my kid in sixth grade, that was a project, they had to learn Ksav Ivri, and they wrote in Ksav Ivri, one of the more advanced schools, but it's just a study, something called Ksav Ivri. What is Ksav Ivri? So there's a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin that says Ksav Ivri. Okay, it's not a holy. We don't attribute it to being a holy script. We attribute it to being a mundane script that was used for matters that are secular, not related to holiness. And being that the Luchos Shvius was on a diminished level, it was not the status of a Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Luchos Rishonos, according to some opinions, it's not clear. This is a very, very big discussion and a very complicated topic. The Luchos Shvius were given in Ksav Ivri, in the Ivri script. Now, the Ivri script, who invented the Ivri script? So there's a fascinating discussion. It appears in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Lavan Ho'arami. Lavan Ho'arami was the inventor of the Ivri script. And that's why Rashi translates Ksav Ivri, Ksav Libuno'o. Lavan. Libuno, it was named after its creator, Lavan Ho'arami. Lavan was a brilliant person. He invented the language Aramaic. Aramaic. Okay, the Midrashim that it's part of creation. What?
The Aleph
Beis that we have in the Sefer Torah today is Ksav Ashuris. We do not use today at all Ksav Ivri. The only place you'll see Ksav Ivri is in the museums, and is in the back of an encyclopedia. But Ksav Ivri was something which was extremely common in ancient times up until the point of Ezra. Ezra was the one that instituted that we should stop using the Ksav Ivri and we should now, from here on in, use the Ksav Ashuris.
Which is what the Hebrew we have today.
Only in the Sefer Torah. The Hebrew you have in the Sfarim in front of you in your Gemara is none of the above. That's a new script. That's a script that was invented by the printers. Or that's a discussion in and of itself where that script came from. That evolved over time pretty much from the Ksav Ashuris. It's a knockoff. It's a cheap knockoff of the Ksav Ashuris script. Not very accurate, but it was convenient for the printers, and that's why they adopted it. Then this Rashi script, which also was used by the printers, that's a topic in and of itself, it's not for now. But Ksav Ivri, according to one opinion, was created by Lavan, Ksav Libuno. And I'll tell you something else that is very, very fascinating about Ksav Ivri. This is what it says in the Sefer called, there's a Sefer called Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuri. That's the name of the Sefer. And it's a whole book on and he goes into everything you can imagine related to Ksav Ivri, and he has an incredible yesod, a chiddush, which the average person would think of on his own. What's Ksav Ashuris? What makes the letter in Ksav Ashuris? Now our sfarim printed today, it's the black. The way the black is formed, we have a vav. That line is the letter. The yud, that little dot, that's the letter. The aleph, the way it's formed is the letter. In Ksav Ivri, the letter is not the line. It's the shape that's created in between the lines. It's the lavan. It's the white part of the paper or of the stone. It's blobs of matter. So let's make believe. I'll give you an example. A triangle. If you have a triangle, what letter is a triangle? Is an ayin. It's an ayin in Ksav Ivri. A triangle. What is an ayin in Ksav Ivri? It's not three lines. An ayin is a blob of matter, of white space, that's shaped like a triangle. It's not the exterior black. It's the lavan, it's the white. It's just that you need to create lines to draw boundaries. Here is how far this matter, this chomer, extends. It's a fascinating idea. We look at letters, you look at the black. The black is the letter. Who says the black is the letter? Maybe what the letter is if you have, well, it's hard for us to relate this because you would have to have the letters surrounded on all four sides, which in Ksav Ivri obviously it's not. But that's all part of the technique, that's all part of the complexity of Ksav Ivri. There are certain given boundaries which do not require imaginary lines, because it's a given, there's a boundary over there. But what differentiates this safe, here's a safe, like here's a, it's a shape. It's a shape. This is a different shape. This is a different shape. So this is called an aleph because it's rectangular and it's small. This is called a dalet because it's taller and it's a different. They'll show me a safe that has round edges. That's going to be a zayin because it's a piece of matter that has a different distinct shape. The lines that you're drawing in the ksav is what? Is just a boundary to represent the inner part of the letter.
It's geometry.
No, not geometry. That's mathematics.
What's inside?
Okay, what's inside? So this is the difference between Ksav Ivri and Ksav Ashurim. So now we can understand why on the Yom Noroim, or at least on Yom Kippur, and the building of Yom Kippur, we dress the Sefer Torah in white. It's a different Sefer Torah. The whole year round, when we focus on Torah, it's the Luchos Rishonos. The whole year, the Ikar Torah, Hashem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Hashem gave us Matan Torah. The Torah was given, the entire Torah. It was given the Luchos. It was colorful. It was a beautiful day outside. The birds were, the whole world was present. It was a ceremony the world has never seen. Yom Kippur, Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvarecha, different Torah, a different Luchos. According to the simple understanding, it was different. What was the difference? Luchos Rishonos was beautiful, Ksav Ashuris. Luchos Shniois was Ksav Ivri. What's Ksav Ivri? Ksav Libuno, Lavan. The author's name is Lavan, and not only is the author's name Lavan, what's the ksav is the lavan is the white part of the not the black, not the lines, but the white part, the white matter of the paper of the stone, lavan. Therefore, we dress the Torah in lavan, in white. The paroches is lavan. Everything that relates to the Torah, the bima where we read the Torah, everything is white because now is a time to focus on the luchos shnios. And the luchos shnios was given in ksav libunah. And luchos shnios brings with it a whole different flavor, a flavor of vayomer Hashem solachti chidvarecha. Okay, so that's my suggestion of why we change. Because think about it. Did the Torah sin? We have to make its sins white like snow? Torah needs to be dressed in tachrichin? Eitz chayim hi. Okay, so it's a reflection on us. But so what? You can insult the Torah. You want to make a reflection. You're a sinner, so yeah, the Torah has to suffer with you? No, it's luchos shniois ksav libunah. It's white. It's the white part of the center. It's to remind us. Now we're coming to a tkufa of luchos shniois. We're building up to Yom Kippur. That's when does that start? It starts with Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it starts with slichos. Yesh v'yesh. Nohoda pashte. Everyone has their custom. But you climb, you build up to the climax. Vayomer Hashem solachti chidvarecha. And then the other thing was very intriguing is why don't you take off, why do you keep on the white parochas all the way until Hashanah Rabbah? Until Shmini Atzeres. Always wonder why. Why do you have to keep on the white?
So you'll
say, because I just got lazy.
No,
forgot to take it off. Till Yomtov, you keep it on. So you say, because it's kapara, it's still part of the Yom Hashanah Rabbah, it's the Yom Neroyim, Shmi Atzeres. But if you learn that it's all part of a different type of Torah, Yom Hashem, Solachti Chidvarech, and you've given us what endures. It's what do we have? What endures? Shavuos is Luchos. So it's all part of the process. Lavan invented it. It's called Libuna. The letters represent the Lavan of the paper, not the Shachar, not the black of the paper. Different Torah. White. Okay, that's my Tame Haminhogim for today, so we'll have to stop here because we're out of time.
It's an original idea, but who gets that message?
What?
Getting that message.
Me.
Yeah. There you go.
Me and you.
Who knows? You're talking about the holiday season.